The reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. When all the crowd saw Jesus, they were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And Jesus answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has he had this?" And the boy's father said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing the boy terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when Jesus had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ, glory to God forever. A little girl named Tina had been shuffled from foster home to foster home. Month after month went by, year after year went by. Finally, when she was 8 years old, she was informed that she would at last be adopted. After weeks more of waiting, the day finally came for her new parents to pick her up. They arrived one sunny afternoon to Tina's foster home. Tina was upstairs in her room, and her foster mom went up to get her. What she saw when she entered Tina's room, however, quite surprised her. You see, they had spent the whole previous day packing for Tina to be picked up, getting everything ready, getting everything in boxes, her suitcase, etc. Well, Tina had spent the morning alone in her room, putting everything back to where it had been. Everything. Clothes, toys, books, colors, toothbrush, all unpacked and put away. When the foster mom asked Tina if she still wanted to go with her new parents, Tina said, "Yes, yes, absolutely yes." She was adamant. "So why did you unpack everything when you knew they were coming today?" the foster mom asked. Tina replied, "I didn't believe they would really come for me." Kind of heart-wrenching, because you can just picture what was going on in her mind. The war between so desperately wanting to believe and the gnawing unbelief that it would actually come to pass. Now, Tina grew up to be a professor of child development, specializing in trust and belief and bonding issues. And she comments on how very different her life might have turned out if her new parents hadn't shown up. But they did. And they turned out to be wonderful, not to mention trustworthy parents. In today's gospel, we encounter a man with a tormented son. He comes to Jesus begging for mercy for the boy. "If you can do anything," he says to Jesus, "have compassion and help us." Jesus responds, if you can, all things are possible to the one who believes." And then the dad says those immortal human words. He cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief." How human, how us. We spend so much of our lives, so much of our spiritual energy in that shadowy middle ground between belief and unbelief, between knowing God is almighty and then doubting his movement in our lives. Now, why is this? Or maybe a better question is, what can bring me to simply faith? What can bring us from I believe, but help my unbelief, to I believe, full stop? And I think the answer to that question can be taken from Professor Tina and her experience as an 8-year-old. She learned to trust and she learned to believe because her parents showed up, because they kept their word. They remained trustworthy even when little Tina didn't understand it all. We can move from help my unbelief to I believe, full stop, by remembering God's faithfulness, by remembering the way God keeps his promises. Even when we're in the middle of something we don't understand, God is still faithful to his people. When God told Abraham and Sarah, who were old and childless, that they would have offspring as many as the stars in the heavens, they did. When God told Moses he would give him victory over Pharaoh, even when the Israelites were pinned between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, he did. When God told Mary that she would conceive the Messiah, even though she was a virgin, she did. When Jesus told his disciples that on the third day, after seeing him tortured and crucified and buried, that he would rise again, he did. When God told you that he would fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, he did. And when the Lord promised to be with you until the close of the age, he is. God's faithfulness to his word is without blemish. And yet we spend so much energy listening to that tiny voice of unbelief whispering in our ear. What if this time God doesn't come? What if this time God doesn't show? But when has that voice ever been right? Oh, God may not have shown in the way that I wanted or expected, but that's on me, not on him. And I challenge anyone to suggest that he didn't show at all. I mean, oftentimes we doubt because God hasn't done things our way or on our timeline. Sometimes we doubt because there's still pain in life. Sometimes we doubt because the future is foggy and we're not content living in the today. But God never promised things would go your way on your timeline, or that life would be pain-free, or that your future path would be crystal clear. In fact, I'm quite convinced God told us the opposite. But what he did promise is spiritual power. What he did promise is his presence in your life. What he did promise you is the communion of the angels and the saints, even when life is difficult and painful. What he did promise is the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you have a foggy or painful or aimless day or month or year, God is with you. God comes. God shows up even until the end of the age. Now, God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his people, and God is faithful to his word. When the distraught dad in the gospel was stuck in that shadowy middle ground of, I believe, help my unbelief, he didn't have a lifetime of experience in the grace of the Lord Jesus to draw from. And still, the Savior shows boundless compassion, even to such a broken faith. And to those who do have a lifetime of experience in the grace of the Lord Jesus, maybe we can take a page from Professor Tina. Her parents showed up. They kept their word, and she learned to trust even when she didn't understand. And may we, even when we don't understand, say to God, I believe, full stop. Amen.